The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys.
Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters
at the Star in Frisco.
C.D. Lamb, touchdown.
Parsons has second. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's an April edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas, in the SWBC studios. Welcome in, everybody. It is officially draft month as we are just 16 days away from the NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan, hometown of our very own John Mashoda. We've got Nick Harris. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Chris Beam in the back. You gonna make a trip out there to Detroit? You gonna go home for the draft, hang out for a bit?
I don't know if I should give all the behind the scenes to this, but from the job that we do, it makes no sense to go out there. No sense.
We've talked about this.
Not even close. So I went to that 2016 one because obviously they had a top five pick, and they got Zeke, and just for our jobs being at the Star. At that time it was the last draft at Valley Ranch. You're better off being at the team facility because, you know, you're getting Jerry, you're getting Steven, you're getting McCarthy, you're getting the player on the phone real quick. You're getting the player on the phone way quicker if you're here than when you're actually meeting with the player when you're there. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk to Zeke until they were probably, I mean, he went fourth, and we probably didn't talk to him until they were on at least pick 15, 16. And I just have a lot of PTSD from that because – I'm at the Dallas Morning News at the time. I'm writing on deadline, and then that's when the news starts surfacing that, oh, they might be trying to trade back into the first for Paxton Lynch. And I'm just like, I'm barely getting done with this Zeke story right now, trying to make my print deadline. You know, when you work for a website, it's different. I mean, different. I don't care. Yeah, I'll write until 5 a.m. You know, I don't care about that. But when you're trying to meet this print deadline, and you're just like, okay, I finally got quotes from Zeke. I can, you know, whatever. And I ended up using some of the stuff that, you know, Brandon George sent over to me that he got when he was at Valley Ranch. It was just like, it's cool to be there. I'll tell you the best part about being there, if you have a top 10, 15 pick, is the day before, there's usually some type of an event that they have, charity type event, where they make several of the players, like everybody that's invited to the draft, those 20, 30 players are all there. And it's pretty good media access. And I don't know if you got a chance to go out there when it was in Dallas, but even like that year, you know, I mean, you had a good idea that, hey, Leighton Vander Esch was on the radar, some of those people like that. So that was really cool because you could talk to these guys for 10, 15 minutes. And that was really big for the Zeke draft, because remember, it was like Zeke, Joey Bosa, Jalen Ramsey. That was like a lot of people thought that would be one of those four. So that was great. It just, when the actual draft goes on, where it's at is very made for the people that are there, the fans, to enjoy it, and then TV side of it for sure. But for covering it, you can't beat being here.
Yeah, from the moment that I started doing the draft show in 2020, I feel like every year I get the question. Have you gotten this question this year? Tell me if you have.
Then if I'm going to the draft.
Are you going to the draft?
No, you haven't gotten it yet?
No, you'll get it. I have at least one person come up and ask me, like, hey, are you heading out to Detroit? Are you going to the draft? Yeah. Kind of like how I asked John, I'm like, no, the draft's here.
Yeah,
that's where the draft happens, is at the Star in Frisco. That's why, I mean, I know a lot of our Talking Cowboys listeners do also listen to the draft show, and if you don't, you should. But the access that the draft show gets is phenomenal. Last year, we were talking to position coaches for each pick. By the time they were selected, we were having them in the building. You've got head coaches, you've got Mike McCarthy, you got Jerry Jones, of course, up there. And you've got the entire brass of the Cowboys organization doing their draft in Frisco, where the NFL is in Detroit.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys are still in Frisco. So lots of excitement here over the next two and change.
My favorite – it's probably my favorite draft memory is actually last year's draft after it ended. Cowboys PR brought Chris Vaughn over to talk to us about them drafting Deuce Vaughn, and he was so great with just, I mean, talking about obviously his son. You know, those moments when you're thinking, man, I don't know if my son's going to get drafted, but I also don't want to convey that to him that I'm having doubts, because I think he's having doubts, and then for the Cowboys to be the team that drafted him. And that's something that, I mean, I feel like if I was in – Where was it last year? I always forget.
Kansas City.
Yeah, you're right. It was Kansas. Right, okay. If I was there, I probably would have missed out on that. And that was great, you know. And so the Cowboys have been great with bringing out, like you said, like you guys do a great job with when they bring the position coaches in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like, I don't know if it was last year or before, but when you guys talked to Mike Solari, I feel like that was the first time that he talked
that was
to
last
anybody.
Year.
Well, yeah, last year. Yeah, it was the first time he talked to anybody. That was good stuff. So, yeah, no, that... I'm bringing this up to say that I don't know for other teams if it's as great it is the same, with the Cowboys, but for the Cowboys and having gone to the 2016 draft, like, it's not even close for me. I'm going to be at wherever the Cowboys headquarters is because you just that's where you're going to get your most return on investment.
And remind me from last year, it felt like Mozzie was on the phone immediately, and he was in the next day, and they had a press conference the next day. Yep. So, I mean, it's quick access with that first-round pick, but... Yeah, it's probably Mike Solari back in the room on night one again this year.
Very likely. That's a
good point. Yeah, once the pick is made, you're going to see Mike Solari walking down this hallway pretty quickly and have a conversation. Hopefully we don't have John attending any drafts anytime soon, because that means that it's like a top five pick, and it was a really rough year beforehand.
Or they traded up.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. They traded up beforehand, before the draft.
You know, that's a good point. I will say that. If they were somehow ever to have – because it's been so long since it's happened. But if they had the first overall pick,
that would
if I'm covering the Chicago Bears right now, I could see why you'd want to go there. Maybe, I don't know, maybe meet with the family or something like that of Caleb Williams or whoever you're going to draft. But
then you also got the eighth pick.
Well, and then there's that. Yeah, so maybe there. Maybe that makes sense. But for
the ninth pick, one of those two.
Yeah, but
let's get it.
That hasn't been the case here.
Not in a long time, and hopefully not anytime soon. Let's get into some news and notes. There's actually been some happenings around the Star over the last week or so. What's the first one that stands out to you?
Yeah, so a throw out of a morning from a report from Dallas Morning News yesterday talking about CeeDee Lamb and his contract situation and how that could look going forward. CeeDee Lamb responded to that yesterday in kind of like a TMZ run-up thing. And
did he, though?
He gave a response.
He gave a response after Chris Carter jumped in the middle of that.
He said
TMZ
run
up. That's a perfect explanation. I like that.
I was pretty underwhelmed when I saw the video after you saw like the headlines that said like breaking CeeDee Lamb. I'm just like, really? This doesn't sound like something CeeDee Lamb would be like.
Where
no,
was
whatever.
It looked like it was like in a convention hall.
So I will say I don't know exactly where they were at.
Yeah.
But to me, what it looked like is that this offseason. This is the part of the year when it's big for guys, like especially star players, to go to different places around the country for autograph shows.
Gotcha.
And I felt like that's probably where he was at, and that's why Chris Carter would be there and things like that.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Just bringing a lot of receivers.
Right.
He said, winning. I'm looking forward to winning and being out there with my guys and making another run at this thing. Yeah, I'll be in Dallas. And it was kind of funny. I was joking with Nick Eatman yesterday. I was like, what does Dallas mean? Because they practice in Frisco and play in Arlington. So, you know, he could be at Dallas. You know, they do camp in Oxnard. But I think we'll see. I don't think it's something to take too seriously at the moment. I mean, these contract negotiations have been ongoing since the season ended, according to front office personnel. So whether it's Dak, Micah, CeeDee that gets done first, I think that'll kind of set off the domino effect towards the other ones. I think when the offseason had started, if you had asked me, I was pretty certain that the order would go Dak, CeeDee, Micah. I think I'm starting to kind of reverb to the thought that it could be CeeDee, Dak, Micah. So we'll see which one gets done there first. The CeeDee contract is so strange because I'm sure the Cowboys want to get it done ASAP, obviously, for many reasons. But you look on the CeeDee side of things, and Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, those are still guys that are waiting on long-term deals, and we're in the same draft class, both of them.
Yep.
And T. Higgins as well. I know he wasn't in the same draft class, but you're pushing that out. Brandon Ayuk. So there's a lot of receivers that are kind of just waiting on this market to kind of set itself. And if you're CeeDee, why would you be the first one to pop? You know, if you're talking from CeeDee's standpoint and CeeDee's agent standpoint, why would you sit and take that first number that pops up? So I think that one could get interesting as time goes on. That's probably one that, you know, maybe once they get out to Oxnard, it's like a Trayvon Diggs situation where they sit down and they're able to hammer it out. But going into that fifth-year option, I think a lot of Cowboy fans would be a little bit stress seeing CeeDee also being in the final year of his deal.
I agree with you on CeeDee. I think will be the one that first one out of that group that gets done. But you say the Trayvon Diggs thing, that's because stuff kind of started going before we even ended up in Oxnard.
Yeah.
So on one side, it could be like Trayvon Diggs. But on the other side, Could be like Zach Martin.
Yeah, that's fair.
Could be. You know,
and if you're CeeDee Lamb, I mean, just look at the results of what happened with the Zach Martin thing. Mm. It's very, I can understand if a player wasn't to show up like that, to use that as leverage, if they, you know, feel like they're that next guy, like CeeDee obviously feels like it. So when I watched that interview, I took it as, yeah, he's going to be playing in Dallas, but I didn't take that as like, no, there won't be any possible not showing up, exactly, or anything like that. Like, I don't know about that. I wouldn't rule that stuff out. That would not surprise me at all for a player to do something like that, to get some leverage in a contract talk. But I think that I think both sides could come together and get a deal done before the Jefferson Chase thing figures itself out. I think it's just about everyone getting together, and whoever side needs to be more into that, I don't know who that is, but that needs to happen, because CeeDee Lamb has shown you the body of work is there. He deserves to be paid like one of these top wide receivers, just like Trayvon Diggs deserved to be paid like one of these top cornerbacks. And so, yeah, I just feel like Nick said, that'll be the first one, because there's not a lot of leverage left here as far as I'm concerned. Like, there's no gray area. Like, he is the guy. He is a star wide receiver. You gave him 88 for a reason. He's done nothing but live up to that. So get that deal done, and that will help you in other areas as well.
CeeDee Lamb trying to do doing the same thing that he did in the 2019 college football playoff, and that's let the LSU wide receivers beat him, you know?
All right.
That's what happened in the college football semifinal in 2019. Let those LSU wide receivers beat him to the punch. That way his contract's much bigger and he can get to that point. I don't know if that's actually the case. I do think there is a legitimate sentiment from CeeDee Lamb that he knows this is a great place for him. He knows what he's done so far on the field. He knows how it's helped grow his brand off of the field. He wants to be here and he wants it to work out. And honestly, the Cowboys want him here too. That's the thing, is you look back at all of these legitimate talents that the Cowboys have had, and you can hate on the fact that they haven't made the outside signings and free agency all you want, and I would probably back you up in that sentiment. But in terms of the guys that are in-house that are legitimate talents, what's the last guy you didn't retain for a second contract or a third contract based off of their production? I think there's a very short list of names that you haven't been able to retain from in-house, and I think CeeDee Lamb is right there at the top of the list.
Yeah,
you're
I remember
not
if
let
he got,
him walk.
I don't remember if he got two or was on his third contract, but the only really talented player that they've let walk that might have been a little surprising at the time would have been DeMarcus Ware. But even he was at a part in his career where it didn't line up with...
That was probably his third contract, right?
Yeah, I think so. It just didn't line up with where they thought that team was going to be in 2014. If they knew that team was going to be able to put together that season they did, I don't see them moving on from him. And I mean, it's hindsight's 2020, but you look back on it and you just think, man, what that 2014 team could have been with DeMarcus Ware. Mm-hmm. But that's the only player that comes to mind for me where, you know, people will bring up, like, well, they didn't bring back Biadasz, or they didn't bring back Dorrance Armstrong or Tyron Smith. And I'm like, I get your arguments on those. They're obviously starting players and things like that. And Tyron Smith is, you know, Ring of Honor Hall of Fame guy. I get that. But when you factor in where they are in their career, I don't put those in the same category as a Ware who goes on and wins the Super Bowl. I don't know. Maybe Tyron stays healthy and the Jets go on to win the Super Bowl. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think
the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl. But that was, I mean, Ware on that Broncos team showed that he still had a lot of, you know, tread left on his tires. So that's the only player that I think of in the last decade plus.
I think it gets done. I do. And it may be a training camp situation. It may be out of the blue. I think it's more likely it's a training camp situation than it is out of the blue. I think it happens over time, kind of like what you said with Trayvon Diggs. There were talks going into Oxnard, and then it settled in Oxnard. I think it's going to be something similar like that moving into the offseason.
I always wonder, real quick, I want to add on there, I always wonder if Jerry Jones, because of his experience in the business and because what you said about how those guys never usually get – I just feel like he's got a confidence about this that's on a different level than I would say most fans that you interact with on Twitter, who it's much more like the sky is falling when the contract isn't done. Like, why are we still dragging this out or whatever like that?
Wait, the sky is falling on Twitter? No.
But with Jerry, I don't think that he feels that way. And that could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. You know, I don't know. But I'm just saying that I don't get the sense from him and then his body of work that he gets as concerned about that stuff as people on the outside. Maybe he should be. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like he does.
Yeah. What else for news and notes?
So they did make one free agent signing last week, bringing back Chuma Edoga to the fanfare of Twitter as well. So yeah, bringing back
guys falling again.
Yeah, exactly. Bringing back another depth offensive lineman. I think I said this back many times last season. I liked what he did whenever he filled in the interior. If he could be a left guard replacement if somebody gets hurt, I'm okay with that. Moving him out to tackle, I never really felt like allowed his athleticism, or it didn't play towards his athleticism. He's more of a phone booth guy. He's got that wide body set. If he could be a depth guy in the interior, then that's not a bad signing, especially at the price that they got him. They need those bodies. We found that out last season, obviously. So bringing back Chuma Edoga, maybe just kind of keep him off the exterior and keep him in the interior in 2024.
So, okay, on that note, when I saw that deal gets done, I'm thinking – I agree with you on the guard thing, but let's say they take a left tackle in the first round. Mm-hmm. So you got your starting left tackle there. Out of the group, including Chuma, who would be your swing tackle?
Okay, so you're talking about who would be the depth guy from left tackle to right tackle. Yeah, you're looking at Matt Wiletzko. You're looking at Josh Ball. It'd be tough. You'd probably have to go draft a guy.
Yeah.
You'd probably have to go draft a guy.
Because, I mean, I guess you throw Austin Richards in there. But there's part of me where I was kind of like – maybe Chuma's also an emergency guy out there because you do need a swing tackle. It's not like it's just like, oh, no, this swing tackle is like a guy that you're going to need once every seven games. No, you need a swing tackle. Yeah. You need another tackle, and then also just how quickly an injury could happen. You need that guy to be able to step in immediately. And so that's the part where I am confident the Cowboys are going to get someone that's going to be their left tackle out of this draft. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wonder who will be that next guy in line out of everybody that you said. Maybe we go to Oxnard and it figures it out. Maybe we're out there and we're just like, man, Austin Richards looks great, or you know, Josh Ball looks like he's really taking a step. Maybe that happens, but as we sit here today, I just don't know. Like, there really isn't that guy. And so if I'm feeling that way about swing tackle, it's hard for me to feel that way about no, if they don't get a left tackle in this draft, one of these guys on the team can do it.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then to me it's probably Tyler Smith, and I don't think that's the best move to do that.
You don't want to move him?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Keep him at guard. No. That's been a big debate amongst draft analysts and Cowboys coverage, is do you move Tyler Smith if the right pick is there? And the right pick, I think, is probably Graham Barton from Duke. It's starting to seem more and more like he's not even going to be close. I know there was a report that he could possibly go top 15 at some point along the way. So there's a chance that Graham Barton's not even there. But if he is, he's an interior offensive lineman. That's where he is. He's done most of his work in college. He did play a tackle in college. He said he's very comfortable at doing so. I don't think he would be a tackle, right? In this situation, you would move Tyler Smith to do so. If that's the pick, a guy that could be a top 15 selection, he falls down to 24, you make the pick, he's your guy, are you okay at that point of moving Tyler Smith out? Or is it just this perfect scenario, and even that you're not cool with doing?
I don't love it because I don't love the idea of potentially having two young guys right next to each other at center and left guard. Not that Tyler Smith is old and is some, you know, veteran, but I like the idea of...
Yeah, he just turned 23.
Yeah, no.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah, last week.
He's a young dude, but I like the idea of finding somebody to play tackle in that first round. I just feel like somebody is going to be there that'll be of that level. Now, maybe it's not as good as, I don't know, Guyton or Mims or something, but maybe it's a little step down. But I just feel like addressing that there, and I feel like you can find the center later on, and then now you're piecing that together. And that's, to me, is the best scenario for the Dallas Cowboys. When I say that, I also understand people could make the argument that if the Oregon center, Powers Johnson, is there, the idea of having an interior of Martin, Powers Johnson, and Tyler Smith is pretty intriguing too, even though that might lead to Tyler Smith moving out. I get all these scenarios. I'm just saying that I feel like for the Cowboys, I think that the best situation would be that for them to find that left tackle in the first round, because I do think that there'll be centers that are starting caliber a little bit later in the draft. Because for me, like, I like TJ Bass, but I like having TJ Bass as being a guy that I don't believe in the idea that, oh, no, all five of these guys, week one or whatever's at Oxnard. No, they'll be healthy all season. Like, there's stuff that happens in games, and I like the idea of having TJ Bass available right away to help me out at right guard, left guard. And that might mean that we go into the season with him as a backup, but he ends up starting 8-10 games during the season because of an injury or whatever happens, you know. So as long as it's an offensive lineman, it makes sense to me. It's when you reach for a different position, that's where I would kind of, you know, I'm not a big fan of in this draft.
Taking a receiver there at 24. Yeah. That seems to be like a sexy pick among mock drafts. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, if that happens. I think there's a couple of options there with Tyler Smith, because you kind of alluded to it. If they do draft a center, they can go into training camp and figure out what they can place at left tackle before they just, maybe it's like 1 or 2 weeks and they're like, okay, maybe we do need to move Tyler Smith out. And then they just place him there and that's where he is the rest of his career. Or it could be a situation where, like you said, an Austin Richards or a Josh Ball or Matt Willetsko take an extra step. They're ready to go at left tackle. How likely is that? I don't know. Yeah. I think in that situation, they would probably need to draft a tackle late on day two or on day three at some point, just to have another body in that room. But I think you have a more difficult path towards figuring out who your five are up front if you draft a center than you do drafting a tackle. With that being said, it's not impossible. I just think it's a more difficult path.
I'm just looking at, you know, Terrence Steele, Zach Martin, Jackson Powers Johnson, Tyler Smith, David Bakhtiari, and then you just go. I'm kidding. There's obviously a reason he hasn't signed with anybody. Yeah. But on paper, it looks great.
It sounds fun.
It looks great on paper.
Definitely sounds fun.
Madden, we're having fun.
And then you've got some backups. Right. You've got Chuma Adoga that could come in.
Bass.
You've got DJ Bass, Brock Hoffman. Now you're cooking with gas.
Right.
Let's make it happen. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to take your fan calls, talking to Cowboys Nation a little bit. 888-855-2297. Give us a call. We'll be right back with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Back here with John Machota, Nick Harris. I'm Kyle Yeomans, Chris Beam in the back. And it's, I mean, that read is just not the same. without Isaiah Stanback.
Yeah, because you know
building.
Damn well I didn't eat my oats.
Yeah, didn't work out, didn't eat your oats. Not having Isaiah for these oat reads just isn't the same, which is why we called out to the West Coast. This is West Coast Stanback. This is going to work in L.A. Stanback. What's going on, Isaiah?
What's going on, fellas?
Welcome back to the show. Are you getting your suntan in this week? Are you getting some nice and relaxing time off out in West on the West Coast?
You know what? Actually, I am. I'm sitting up here doing a little studying up here at the desk in the hotel room, looking at the beach. I got my workout in this morning. You know, I channeled my inner, you know, KY, got my little burn in this morning, and then I got my oats in.
You did get your oats in.
Yeah, I got my oats in.
What, did they have like complimentary breakfast in the hotel lobby or something? Is that where you got it at?
This is not one of those. This is a little bit nicer hotel, so you pretty much have to pay like $16 for some oatmeal, but it's all good.
Wow.
We're good.
Still got it done. That's, you hear the subtle flex in there, and it really wasn't subtle. It was straight out flexing. Like, this is still a little bit fancier of a hotel than what you're used to, guys.
Let's keep it real, guys. Fellas, let's keep it real. When you're at a nicer hotel, they're not giving away anything free. The only thing that you might give free is Wi-Fi, and that's if you're a member. So that's about all that they're going to give you. Everything else, you got to pay for.
I feel like even then, the Wi-Fi isn't necessarily working out.
You can keep that robe that's in the closet, I think. Now, you think they'll charge you for that?
They're definitely going to charge you for that. And the fact that you still know that there's robes in there is a little bit concerning for me.
You can always tell by, like, the quality of a hotel. Like, if it's a really nice hotel, there's generally one in there.
That's probably a crop top for Isaiah. That robe.
Yeah, Isaiah's going to put it on. He's going to look like Terry Crews, and he's going to have, like, IRS, like, engraved in the side of it by the time he leaves. Can't wait for it. Isaiah, what are you doing out there on the West Coast?
I'm actually down here for the broadcast boot camp. I got accepted into that for the NFL. There's about 25 current and former players that were allowed to be in the program. And there's hundreds of guys that try to apply, but I was one of the lucky guys that was able to get in. So definitely happy for that. I have an opportunity to come down here and learn from some of the greats in the industry, be in front of some execs, and just walk away better than I came in. So super, super grateful for the opportunity.
He's out there putting in the work is what he's saying. He's putting in the work for Cowboys fans, so that way when he comes back and he's on Talking Cowboys, it's not all Washington Huskies talk. It's a little bit more in-depth from that point forward. What's your best story from being out there so far?
So far, well, I woke up this morning because I'm still on Dallas time. Mm-hmm. I missed the eclipse. I was here already, but I heard it was amazing. But I woke up this morning about 4:30, and I'm like, dang, I'm done sleeping. Like, I'm ready to get up for the day. So I decided to go down to the gym about 5 o'clock, thinking I'm going to be the only one in there getting a little burn-in, channeling my inner KY. And there's some dude in there by the name of Red Rifle who was in there working out as well. So we talked it up for a little bit, and we got a little burn-in together. But that's my best story so far. I ran into Andy Dalton, which is pretty cool.
Did you mention the Red Rifle nickname? Did you talk about the past of his one season here in Dallas?
No, not at all. I mean, but we did bring up Dallas. We brought up a little bit about where he's at now. I was surprised that he even recognized me because usually, you know, we're on two sides of the building.
Yeah.
So, you know, my time in there. So, but it was good. It was good to see him. I'm glad to see that he's still getting it in. He's strong, man. He's strong. He's almost as strong as John over there. So, just see what happens this year for him.
That's that Katy, Texas strength. He's country strong, Isaiah. Mm-hmm. You don't know nothing about that. Yeah. You're a big city boy.
Yeah. Come on, man. Country boys definitely got something. It's like grown man strength.
When you're around former players, because I feel like most people would identify you with the Dallas Cowboys, how often do you hear from other players like asking you, like, hey, what's going on with the Cowboys, or just bring up the Cowboys to you in general?
Not too much. I mean, like, conversation today was mostly just, you know, the difference between organizations, you know, between the Panthers and the Cowboys and how they treat offseason differently. And that was pretty much the conversation today. But usually, man, it's just kind of just catching up on where guys are, what they're doing. But the conversation doesn't necessarily specifically revolve around what the Cowboys' experience was.
Really is fun getting to see you out there and doing your work. We know you're going to kill it, and you're going to continue to learn and then bring all those lessons back so we don't have to travel out to California to learn those lessons. Love you, buddy. Be safe out there. Enjoy your time. We'll see you next week.
All right, fellas. Y'all hold it down.
There he goes. Isaiah Stanback joining us here for a little check-in. Katy, Texas is starting to not become country strong. That's not
it was
like,
when he was there. That's why I mentioned it. Okay. Like I wouldn't mention, like, I don't know.
Katy, Texas has like a like a $100 million football complex.
It's Frisco of Houston. It is the Frisco of Houston. Yeah. 100%. But like when Andy Dalton was coming up, that was country.
It was countryside.
It was so country that the head coach at Katy has a clip. And one of a Borat moments, and Borat like showed up to like interview him, quote unquote, and he just started making like really inappropriate jokes. And if you know the Katy head coach, he's like this big like curmudgeon stickler. Like they intentionally went after him, and he just like lost his mind. But you go back, and that was from like 2003, back when like Andy Dalton was kind of around there, and it's just country, and there's no buildings or anything that you see around there, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's country town.
Who's that program now? And Texas high school football, who would you say would be the country Deeper. Strong like that? You're like, they're really good
Carthage,
at football.
Carthage out in East Texas.
That was my first thought. I was thinking Aledo, but even Aledo is starting to get like into the Metroplex, and like Weatherford's starting to blow up out there in Fort Worth.
I think Aledo lost the country about 5 years ago, five, six, seven years
But yeah,
ago.
Carthage is there. China Spring in Waco is pretty solid like that. Go Cougars. China Spring, Texas. Shout out, everybody.
That's where all the money in Waco moves out. I don't know about all that.
Your realtor went to China Spring.
My realtor is his mom.
All right. Let's go to our first call. Can we clip that? First caller, Harley in Kansas City, is on Talking Cowboys. Harley, what's going on?
He's worried about Melissa in China Spring.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to say first-time caller, long-time listener. Sad that I get in today when Mr. Standback's out loafing around in California.
I know. How about that? That just means you got to call in again next time.
I'll do my best. Sometimes you guys don't do this every week, and then it's kind of a struggle to get in sometimes, too.
We'll be better.
I became a big Cowboys fan in the 70s, grew up in the country. Only thing on TV was Cowboys and Redskins living on a farm. And so I'm kind of giving you a backdrop to my history and diehardness with Dallas. And you know, everybody knows the drought. You guys do a great job. Everybody there does a great job, Mickey and Brian and so many others. And I haven't heard this. I know this isn't going to happen, but – so I think back to how much that Herschel Walker trade hurt in the late 80s, but what that done. And, you know, this team's got a bunch of pressure every year, and we just constantly in the last 28, 29 years been living in disappointment as Cowboy fans. And it would just – I don't know, this scenario, I know it's going to sound crazy, and I know it's not going to happen. But, you know, I agree that CD needs to be – all these guys need to be paid. It's sad truth with what they're making, but it is what it is. But, you know, the pressure this team has going in and year out, and you got this year, it seems like there's going to be so much pressure on Mike and Dak that, you know, they're not making the moves they've made in the past and been able to do things. And it just seems like this pressure is going to be even more this year compared to other years with them having to perform and make the playoffs, and the schedule's brutal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a diehard fan for so many years, it wouldn't bother me. I know it would stink, but, you know, Dak's going into his ninth year. You know, there's only two quarterbacks that have made their first Super Bowl playing this long, and it's been Peyton Manning and Ken Anderson. So the odds of him making it aren't that good. Nothing against Dak. Great leader, great person, great man. But I wouldn't be opposed for them trading him, trading Micah because of the stuff that's come. I know he's great too, and this is going to be a familiar, you know, high five conversation that I'm coming out with here. But keep CD, stockpile some draft picks, because if we already know going into a season that we're going to struggle anyway, and we trade Dak and we trade Micah and get and the reason I say Micah is because of some of the comments and some former players think there's some selfishness in there. Mm-hmm. But stockpile some draft picks, go forward with CD, rebuild this so we know as fans what we're getting into instead of this pie in the sky that we've had for the last 29 years that we think we're going to get the playoffs and win, and it consistently doesn't happen. So I'll listen off the air. Thank you guys for taking my call. Appreciate all you do and all your time.
No, appreciate the call. Appreciate it. There's a lot of points there that it certainly is going to take a minute to digest, but that's the all out approach. You know, you hear the all in all the way through. That's the all-out approach. And that's certainly an option. I think you have pieces here that you can win with in 2024, even with the current roster and the build that it is. But it is realistic to say this team probably on paper isn't going to be as good as it was last year. But that's blowing it all up and starting all the way from scratch. And I'm not interested in doing anything like that because you do have a quarterback that could be franchise level and is franchise level. He was second in MVP voting last year. You have an elite wide receiver, elite tandem of defensive backs, and you have an elite pass rusher. You can build around that and still win some games, but that's my thought. What do you think?
One caveat is Dak's no trade clause, and I just don't feel like he would approve any trade right now and to go anywhere.
He's making $55 million this year,
yeah,
in the most polarizing and visible for sports franchise in the world.
But let's entertain the idea of trading Micah for a second. What could you get from him? Let's theorize. So let's say you trade Micah to the Cardinals. You're able to get the fourth overall pick and their 27th, right? You have the fourth overall pick. You're sitting there. You can hit up Minnesota. They want that fourth overall pick. They want J.J. McCarthy. So you give them four, but you take their 11 and their 23. So you have 11, 23, 24, and 27 there in the first round. And go ahead and throw an extra first rounder in next year. So you basically have five first round picks in the course of the next 2 years. Do you feel like you can get another Micah with one of those five picks? The odds are not great, but you're going to have five first round picks. That would be the all out approach 100%.
Wouldn't that be six first round picks for next year?
Because yeah,
you'd have two next year.
You have the Cowboys
pick. So you'd have six over 2 years.
You have the Cowboys pick as well. But yeah, I
would Arizona do that though? Would Arizona trade their fourth and 27th pick this year to go? They're not going to draft a quarterback.
For Micah Parsons?
For Micah. Would they do that?
I'm just saying, for Micah Parsons, I feel like the price would be high. But Micah's going to sign up a long-term deal here. He's going to be the highest-paid defensive player in NFL history. That's going to happen. I think, in my opinion, that happens next offseason. And he's going to be here for a really long time. I just wanted to entertain the idea for a second.
No, it is entertaining.
It's a facet. That would be the Herschel Walker of this generation.
Herschel Walker plus one, you know?
Yeah.
And that doesn't even include trading Dak in that regard.
Yeah.
That doesn't include trading your franchise quarterback. You've got four and 27 with Arizona initially, and then you get on the phone with Minnesota. You just got to be Minnesota the punch is all.
I'm pro chaos, and I think John is sometimes too, because I don't have a ton of emotional attachment whenever I'm covering a team. So I sometimes want chaos. That would be chaos. Pure utter chaos. So yeah.
My biggest
fun to cover.
I'm like halfway in, but I just don't think it's realistic.
It's not realistic at all. But it would be chaos. I couldn't have Twitter for a good 3 weeks.
I would
like chaos to a certain extent. In a sports fun way, not in life.
Good point. Yeah.
So my biggest takeaway when the caller was saying all of that is I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't think it's a realistic idea for where this franchise is right now. And the reason I say that was when you mention Herschel Walker, you think of a Jerry Jones who had just purchased the franchise. He's a much younger Jerry Jones. And I just think of Matt Ishbia buying the Phoenix Suns and making that trade for Kevin Durant. When you first purchase a franchise, you're going to be a lot more bold with moves like that than you are later on. I maintain I don't think Matt Ishbia would be making moves like that 10 years from now. I just don't. He might, but I don't think he will. That's what a young new owner does is bold moves like that. And hey, it obviously worked for those early 90s Cowboys. It might pay off for the Suns. I don't know. But what I'm getting to is I just don't see Jerry Jones wanting to do that now at the stage he's at in life. I think he would rather keep this crew together and try and put pieces in around it. I think he believes that's the closer way to get it done than to make a move like that where, I mean, who knows? The NFL is a young man's game. Doing that, the scenario you said, that could turn you into a really good team if you hit on some of those. I mean,
yeah, you can basically get six swings at it, and it's in the first round, you're about a 50-50 hit rate, right?
There's a lot about last year's draft that really helped that Lions team have the season that it did. I mean, if you get a lot of those picks, you're obviously not going to hit on all of them, but if you hit on, let's say, three or four of them, then that brings great value, and also none of those guys on those rookie contracts are going to be making that elite of the elite money. So it's not a bad idea at all. I just don't see it happening with this particular franchise at the stage it's at right now.
Yeah, definitely an idea. And there are options on where this thing could go throughout the entire offseason. There's options for every move that this front office is going to make. And I just don't think either one of those are really likely, and it could end up turning into something down the road. All right, let's take our second break. Nebby, hold on. We're going to get to you here in a couple of moments. We'll talk to you on the other side of this commercial break. More Talking Cowboys will return in a moment.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. JackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Alongside John Machota, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeomans. Let's get to Nebby in Silver Spring, Maryland. Nebby, you're back on Talking Cowboys. What's going on, my man?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Listen, I just want to say two quick things. First of all, what do you think about the possibility of Matt Willesco possibly being our swing tackle? And secondly, I just want to say that while I might be in the minority on this, I just want to say that I'm actually fine. I'm actually okay with the fact that we haven't been active in free agency, and the reason why is because, quite honestly, we don't have the salary cap space to be active in free agency. Therefore, we must build through the draft and hope that we win a Super Bowl champion ship that way. Take care. Thanks so much for being patient with me, and have a great week. Bye.
Great call, Nebby. Well done. Whenever it comes to Matt Willesco, that's the biggest question right now, I think, in that offensive line room. He and Austin Richards, you guys brought it up a little bit in that first segment, but you need something out of Matt Willesco. This is probably his last shot with the franchise to show he can remain healthy, remain durable. That's number one, step number one, and then be a considerable swing tackle at that spot if he can stay on the field.
Yeah, that shoulder subluxation stuff is so tricky, and that, it happens in every sport, weirdly enough. But playing the offensive tackle position, that's something you need desperately. There were times at training camp last year where he looked good. He looked on par to make a 53-man. I don't think there was any question about that. You know, if he was healthy last year, do they go with him instead of Chuma Edoga? I don't really know in those depth situations, because just we haven't seen a whole lot of Matt Wiletzko. We saw him a little bit in the preseason last year. We saw him a little bit the previous season, but I don't think there's just not a lot known there. As far as, you know, what are the odds he could be that swing tackle, he'd have to come in and stay healthy. I think that's just the biggest thing. And until then, we don't really know the answer to that question. But and also about draft and develop, I think there is – there is kind of a silver lining in the fact that they do have Will McClay up there in the scouting department. They do have a scouting department that has done a similar challenge that they need to accomplish this year. They did that back in 2022 with that draft class. Now, what are the odds of having a repeat performance of that? Not great at all. But I think there is a high hope to be able to go and have a strong draft class this year with the seven picks that they do have. There's talent in all 3 days, and they'll find them. Undrafted guys, they'll find them. So, you know, I think this time next year, we'll be talking about a lot of interesting 2024 draft class names in a different light than how we talk about the 23 draft class.
Yeah.
Health is number one with me with Wiletzko. I feel like if you tell me that Wiletzko can stay healthy for a full season, I think that he could be a good swing tackle, maybe more. I feel the same way you could possibly be with Asim Richards or Josh Ball, but is that really going to happen, you know? And from what all I can go off of is what I've seen so far. And so from what I've seen so far, I'm doing everything in my power to take a left tackle as early in this draft as possible, because I don't want to have to rely on a lot of not knowing what I have, you know. And if one of those guys, or heck, all of them, ascend to a level where you're like, man, these guys are all like, they're going to be solid NFL players, well, that's great. And that's a great problem to have. But as I sit here today, if I'm running the team, I don't know that I feel that confident about it. You know, I'd find it hard to believe that they don't feel like they were going to get more investing those picks, fourth, fifth round picks, that they weren't going to get at least one of those guys to emerge into a swing tackle, a potential starter, and it just hasn't happened for them. And so, but on the draft side, I have a ton of confidence in Will McClay. Yeah. Like, I do think that he's the right guy to win the way that they're built right now, to, you know, spend big on a few pieces and then have to draft to fill in the ones around. Like I said, I've said before, you're going to get some Kelvin Josephs that don't work out, use the second round pick. But I feel like with Will McClay, you're also going to get some Jerron Blands. You know, you're going to get some Donovan Wilsons. You're going to get some guys that far outperform where they were drafted at, you know? So to be honest with you, as much as I do want them, or I do think it's a great idea to take a left tackle early, if one of them isn't there, I'm all in on trading back just to get the extra picks, more swings to the bat. Because I think your hand is forced. If you're dead set, like they've said, I'm paying those three guys, I don't think there's any other way you can build the team than through the draft. Cause you're not going to be able to make trades or go after any other notable veterans. Like that ship has sailed. You're going to have to go through the draft.
Yeah. We're running out of time here. The last point from Nebby was he's in the minority of being okay with not spending in free agency. I agree with you, Nebby. You are technically in the minority in that regard, because people want to see big names. People want to see signings. But at this point, we've outlined it before of how the cap situation doesn't necessarily bode well for spending money early in free agency. Now it's come to the point where you're 2 or 3 weeks into, actually a full month into free agency. Now you're going to start seeing some small signings. You're going to start seeing filling the roster, because at some point you have to fill the team full of 53 in order to make it happen. So we'll see that coming up pretty soon.
The reason he's in the minority on that is because of how the season ended.
Yeah.
If they had made a deep playoff run, I don't think you would have heard as much pushback on their offseason plans, because people would be like, hey, they're taking a step. Just let's keep this nucleus. It's when you're talking about keeping that nucleus together, and that nucleus was on the field at home against Green Bay, and you were part of what I think is the worst Cowboys loss in franchise history. When you talk about like expectations and everything that happened, it being a blowout and all that.
It's definitely the worst postseason loss by far.
It's hard to sit there and get past that and act like, no, just run it back. Not going to add a lot of pieces to it, but this core will be the one. This will be the Durant Steph Curry, Klay Thompson trio. That No. You can just piece some things around it. That trio alone, actually, we'll take Durant out of it because that was adding icing on the cake. We'll say Draymond,
yeah.
Steph, and Klay. Like, when you have that and it's shown you, hey, it's making these steps, people are okay with, well, yeah, that some of the pieces around them aren't going to be the greatest, but we got this trio right here. It's when you have that trio and then it doesn't have any postseason success that you've been looking for 28 years. That's where I get where fans come from. We're like, we're not doing any more than this. Like, this isn't good enough to get us over the hump. You know,
agreed.
Maybe it will be this season. Maybe that trio stays healthy and they all elevate their games. But I can't sit here and say the stuff I just said about the offensive line and not seeing it yet and not sit here and say, well, I haven't seen it there either from your very top guys. So, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around.
Yeah. All right, we got to step aside. We've got the draft show coming up at 11 a.m. Central Time. We'll be back next week. It'll be our Talking Cowboys draft preview special here on the next Tuesday, 10 a.m. Central on DallasCowboys.com. For Chris Beam, for Nick Harris, for John Machoded, Isaiah Stanback out in California, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!